In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, as you know, we're honoring the feast of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This has been a feast that's been in the Church for many centuries, and a tradition of the Church goes back to apostolic times. It's a tradition in the Church that our Lord himself revealed this to the apostles and then was kept as part of the tradition in the Church all the way through those times. It wasn't until the time of the reign of Pope Pius IX that he was inspired, and for the glory of God and also of our Blessed Mother, to raise our belief in this particular prerogative of our Blessed Mother, her Immaculate Conception, to raise it to a point of a dogma of our faith. He did so almost 160 years ago, on this day, December 8th in 1854, when he solemnly proclaimed this as, with his infallibility of his office, that Mary was conceived without sin. Meaning by that not only at the moment of her conception as a child, original sin did not come to her, but that she was free from sin from that point on all the rest of her lives. So that we understand, from these points, all of the points of this doctrine and what it means in so many different ways. I remember reading, some books about, not about not only what the Pope had done in defining this dogma, the things that he had said, but what he had done in St. Peter's, where he was there at the chair of Peter, and standing there, and he had clergy and lay people, all of St. Peter's Basilica was completely filled up as he made this proclamation. And there was two occurrences besides this that are remarkable, that those who write about it and saw these things, the events taking place, just show that God kind of gave his confirmation, if you will, on what it was that Pope Pius IX was doing. As he was pronouncing the words that it is part of our solemn belief that from the first moment of her conception, Mary was conceived without sin, the sun came in from behind St. Peter's Basilica there, and the window that was behind where the and still there, but it's a window that's there that's behind where the chair of Peter is. It's called the alabaster window. It has the image of the Holy Ghost on it, and it's done in alabaster. It's an ivory color with the image of the Holy Ghost. And the sun came through and shone right through that, and as the sun was shining, it shone right down upon the Pope as he was saying those words. It just gave, for those who were all present there, it just gave them a wonderful, better understanding, if you will, of the solemn works here and how God was giving glory to our Blessed Mother in proclaiming this great belief that we had had in the Church from the time of the Apostles up till now, making a point of the dogma of our faith. So it's something that we must believe. But also afterwards, after he had proclaimed the dogma of the faith, then there was a special work that had been done by the Franciscans who were there in Rome, the Superior General Franciscan Order and one of the others of his assistants. They came up to the Holy Father and they were carrying with them silver flowers, lilies, and I believe roses too, and presented them to the Pope. And the Pope was touched with that at that particular point. It didn't give them real flowers. It couldn't give them real lilies and roses or whatever to honor our Blessed Mother at a title, but did so, the ones they gave were in silver. And the idea of that with the silver was to symbolize the purity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the purity of what silver is. We kind of reserve gold for our understanding of Christ as King, and the purity of silver, the brightness, the resilience of it, to that of our Blessed Mother. And so this is what the Franciscans, in giving this, and was understood by all those who were present, that they're presenting those flowers, the images of flowers, and the symbol was that. And not only was it to symbolize Mary's purity, but besides that, it was given all of us to understand the moral state all of us are to imitate of that of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The moral state of purity, the purity of life. While we were conceived in sin, and by the grace of God through baptism, that sin is taken away, as well as the weaknesses that come with sin, the tendencies to sin. Concupiscence is the word the Catechism uses to give us understand this tendency, this temptation that is there. And by grace and mortification, we do all we can to fight that off and be strong. But any sins that we have committed ourselves personally, that weakens us too. And so while we may not be like the Blessed Virgin Mary and be without sin, and even without the weaknesses that sin caused, even after original sin is taken away, still by the grace of God, we are here to fight off the temptations to sin, but most especially this virtue. The saints, the spiritual writers, everything we understand about the Blessed Virgin Mary, That the virtue of purity is the God-like virtue, if you will. The one that God wishes us to imitate, to be his best of his children in every way. And so what he asks of us is to live that pure life, to love that purity, to find in what we find in our Blessed Mother, where she was pure from the very beginning of her conception, and live that way through her entire life. Maybe, you know, she was never tempted against that particular virtue, but nevertheless, even though she may not have been tempted, she lived in the world and would not let those things of the world be around her. And in that way, won for us, through God, the graces that we need to be strong. The saints and spiritual writers all tell us that if we are going to be strong in fighting off the temptations against purity by living the pure life, it's to increase our devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Since she is the Virgin most pure, as we call her in the Litany of Loreto, we honor her in this particular way, and that the more that we will increase our devotion to her, the stronger will she as our good mother assist us and help us. That doesn't mean that we put ourselves in unnecessary occasions of sin. It doesn't mean that we don't have to pray and sacrifice even more on our part. But we need to draw closer to her, understanding the message of this great feast day of hers, the Immaculate Conception, understanding this purity of body and soul that is hers, and that she will win from God for us the graces we need to be strong. The world today brings with it this temptation in a very strong way. And I don't think anyone here misunderstands anything I'm saying at that particular point. It seems that the more the devil controls the world, the more the people themselves become worldly and attached to sin, then the more it is that the evils against purity come out even more so. Books, movies, situations with people, temptations, companions may have, stories, whatever else it may come. The temptations are strong and great against this great virtue. And so that's why you and I have to be even that much more stronger, knowing the longer we may be in the world, the people we may be around, being careful not to watch things that are going to lead us into temptation, not to be presumptuous in any way, saying, oh, this movie won't bother me, this book won't bother me, I know this person has this problem, but I'll just say a short prayer right now and it won't bother me. That kind of presumption is what usually gets us in trouble, because that presumption comes to us in that way from saying, I know I have a weakness, I know I could fall into sin, but I pretend myself to be stronger than what I seem to be, than what I know to be. And so I put myself in these unnecessary occasions of sin. I put myself in these. I dress, I act, I tell jokes, I do things like that that compromise this great virtue of purity. Like I'm saying, what we need to foster is a love for purity. Not just the negative I see of saying that I'm going to avoid it and not fall into the sin and temptations and whatever, but ask by the grace of God to live as a child of God and to have a love for it. Because if we have a love for the virtue of purity, then we'll keep ourselves from the unnecessary occasions of sin. Well, this, I don't want to call it necessarily a feeling, but something within us will come and tell us that we're putting ourselves in a dangerous position around this person. Before we say something, repeat some story somebody else has, being around somebody at work or at school or whatever else it might be, finding things on the internet, be tempted to go to places on the internet because we're idle, we're just surfing, as they say, around the internet, and pretty soon we're here and we're led into temptations and all of a sudden we fail. If we love the virtue of purity within us, we're going to say, I'm getting into a dangerous occasion right now. I know this person, this place, this thing, this idleness that I have is going to lead me into sin. And at that moment, if we're careful, if we love purity, our guardian angel helps us and our Blessed Mother wins for us the graces we need, we can fight off those temptations and most likely not fail. We'll understand this about failing in the area of purity, as it is very quickly to commit a mortal sin against purity. Some people think they can kind of push the envelope and push things and be tempted in this particular way, kind of go so far and then say, well, I didn't do or say or think all of these things. Be careful. This sin is of such a nature that it so destroys the peace of God in our souls that it quickly becomes that serious sin. And that's why we have to be so careful about it. The this particular virtue, or rather the, you know, the point of purity, of what we're praying for, this love of purity, is a conviction that we need to pray for. There are many people that have other troubles and difficulties they have in their life, areas of anger. Some may be tempted to steal things, gossip, whatever. And by the grace of God, they work to overcome those temptations, and they have a conviction, a sensitivity toward those things, so they don't fall into them. But we all need to pray that we can have these same strong convictions in this area of purity. It helps us by the way we pray, like I said, devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, the manner in which we dress, again, the people that we're around, the stories we might tell, the thoughts that we control in ourselves, all of those things. We'll have those convictions and live up to them if we have this love for what purity is. And that's a lesson that Mary can teach us, and that's what we pray for on this great feast day. That the love she had for God, that pure love, and with that pure love for God, it is what kept her strong against the temptations, against the baseness of impurity. Then we will be strong in that area too. Again, not to the point of presumption, but we'll be strong by the grace of God. Recognize when temptation, occasions of sin may be around us, and overcome them right away. Because we know God is most pleased with us when we are practicing this virtue of purity in every way. It is such a wonderful, loving virtue. It gives strength to our soul. It brings peace to us. It increases the love of God within us in every way. That's how important this virtue of purity is in our lives. And that's why we pray for strength and pray to our Blessed Mother more and more each day. And if we have any difficulties in this area, in thought, word, or deed, then all the more we pray. Not just mumble a few words of the rosary and say, I'm praying to Mary for help. No, daily do it. Sometimes, you know, say some extra prayers before a statue. Putting up a statue or something in our own homes that we can honor each day too as well. That's what I mean by increasing our devotion to Mary. That the more we increase it, the more as our mother, she wins for us the graces. Same thing as St. Bernard of Clairvaux says, that Mary cannot be outdone in generosity, which means the more that we turn to her and praise her, and that childlike, loving, generous spirit, she will turn back to God and win for us those graces in an abundant manner. So let's pray for that help today. That pray for the great, for the conviction that we need of this love, for this virtue of purity, to be strong in this way. God will give us the grace. Mary will win it for us the more we have devotion to her. You know, the short prayer that has come our way from the apparition of our Blessed Mother to St. Catherine Labouré, where it's called by Our Lady of the Miraculous Middle, where the prayer is, O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. This is such an important prayer, and if that becomes a prayer that's on our lips frequently, if we can get into the habit that when tempted against purity, this is the prayer that we pray with fervor from our own hearts and souls, O Mary, conceive without sin. Pray for us. Keep us strong. Pray for us who have recourse to thee. The medal which we find those words around is called the Miraculous Medal. It's called miraculous because people pray that prayer in a spirit of faith and devotion, and what they ask for, it comes. Knowing that, then, let's have that faith, that conviction, that devotion. Learn that this great title of our Blessed Mother, her Immaculate Conception, is so important for us in the life that we have, to live as true children of God, pure of heart and soul. Having that pure love for Him, and then having that will affect the love that we have for our neighbor and those around us. This is why devotion to Mary under this title is so important. So let's get into the habit of saying that prayer, of daily increasing our devotion to her. Our good mother will see us through, and as we understand everything from this feast day, she will help strengthen us and be faithful to God. No matter what the temptations might be, she'll win for us the graces we need to be strong each and every day. Have confidence in that, and in the power that comes through this great devotion to her under the title of Immaculate Conception. Again, with confidence like this, we can be sure we'll win every grace that we need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.